Okay, so today we are talking about the luxury diet, which is an approach that I have used in the past to managing the indulgence of the holiday season. It's kind of funny because it sounds like it's like a very funny title coming from someone who does anti-diet, weight-inclusive work. I think there's something about it that sounds sort of, you know, restrictive-y. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about where it came from. Many, many years ago, before I was even into intuitive eating, I noticed this dichotomy in myself where because I love the holidays and because I felt so energized by the holidays and I was having so much fun, that even though I was going to parties and staying out late and eating all the food and having all the drinks, I'd somehow get to the other side of the holidays feeling really good in my body. And I would jokingly call this, I didn't think that hard about it, but I would jokingly call it my luxury diet that I was on. I was like, oh, I just love this luxury diet that I go on every holiday season. And, you know, definitely after the holidays, I'd get to a point where I was like, okay, I think I've eaten enough brie for a little while, or like I'd be ready to circle back to thinking about food and my body in a different way. But it was just, there was this naturalness to it and this ease to it. And so I jokingly called it my holiday luxury diet, or I'd sometimes jokingly call it the indulgence diet that I was on. And so for the podcast a couple of weeks ago, I thought it would be really fun to just go back through that old presentation. Oh, sorry, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. I noticed there was something in the chat. I just want to make sure I'm not missing anything. Okay. So when I started intuitive eating work, it was really funny because one of my first, like, it was like an aha moment when I started learning about intuitive eating. And then we came up to our first holiday season. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think this thing that I've been jokingly called the luxury diet is actually just intuitive eating. And I was like, isn't it funny that I seem to have found this thing naturally at a specific time of year? And to be clear, the rest of the year, I was really still struggling with food. I was doing a lot of like on the wagon, off the wagon, on a health plan, off a health plan. I would often, I don't know, this is just something that's really unique to me. I know everybody's cycles are really different, but I would do really well through like the fun and the joy and the party part of the season. But as soon as we got to like December 27th, everything would kind of fall apart for me. And I would just eat junk food for like 5 days and then I wouldn't feel so great. And when I say junk food, you know what I mean? I would eat all the things in my stocking resolutely and not take care of my physical body at all. So I was just thinking about like why, when I first realized like what I was doing was actually just intuitive eating through the holidays, I'm like, why was it something that I was able to do through the holiday season? And I realized that there was a couple of things that were happening. The first was there was a time limit on it, right? It was this very like specific amount of time. It wasn't, I think it would have been too scary at that point in my life to commit to just going with the flow for the rest of eternity. But there was something about the fact that it was 4 weeks or 6 weeks. It was this very like, you know, specific period of time that I would just allow myself to surrender and sink in and trust my body. And the other thing that was really crucial to all of this is that I was having a lot of fun. So I was willing to surrender because I was enjoying myself, because I was happy. I felt activated in my body. I'm not sure how else to explain it. If you've ever felt that feeling of like when you're doing something you just really love and that you really enjoy and that really fills you up, I really get that feeling through the holidays, which I know not everyone does. But for me, I do through the holiday season. I feel even when I'm tired, even when it's a little overwhelming, even when there's too much, I just genuinely feel lit up by the holiday season. And so there's a few components of this that I've brought into teaching intuitive eating, right? How do we get ourselves to a place where we feel lit up on a more regular basis? How do people who are first learning to experiment with intuitive eating do it in really short periods of time where they don't commit to doing it for life? It's like, what about maybe just for the next 2 weeks you try it, you know? So I started teaching this around the holiday season every year. It was like an early marketing tactic that I essentially used. It was a webinar that I taught in the early days of Food Freedom Body Love around the holiday season to get people interested in the work that I was doing and to teach them about it. And then I think that as the intuitive eating, body positive, anti-diet movement evolved, I stopped teaching this because I just got very, very worried that it would be misconstrued and misunderstood, and I would get a lot of criticism and backlash for it, just for the name of it. Where did this come from? You know, it came from me realizing that I had interestingly found intuitive eating on my own through the holiday season, and I had given it this silly name that was really just for myself and my friends as a joke. Is it a diet? Absolutely not. We'll learn all about it today. It's really an intuitive eating process that is designed to help you sink into intuitive eating at a time of year when many people want to resist it. They want to label everything that they're doing as wrong and bad and a little bit off track or a little too much. And I'm returning to it now because I just think that there's something in it. I think that there's something here. And so on the podcast, which is what I was starting into a second ago, a couple of weeks ago, I recorded one for next week. So it's going to go live next week. And what I did was I just pulled up the old document that I used to use to teach that webinar. And I just went through it live. Like literally bit by bit, hadn't looked at this thing since maybe 2017, 2018, I don't know. And I just thought it would be really interesting to go back through the old tenets of the luxury diet and like, do they still ring true? And it was incredibly interesting because the first two pieces of it, which we're going to cover today, were how do you want to feel in your body through the holiday season, core to what I teach today, and what are your top three priorities for the holiday season. Like that was the first thing we talked about in that webinar. And so those things are so, you know, fundamental to the work that I do now, even this evolution into healthy-ish, those two things are super fundamental. So that was really fun to find. I think I had even just recorded another podcast before that, where I had laid out like how I want to feel through this holiday season. So it was really neat to see that pop up as like, you know, the number one thing that's part of the luxury diet is focusing on how we want to feel. Then there were also some things in there that I was like, no, I wouldn't say that now. I wouldn't talk about that like that. I wouldn't write about it like that. And so what I thought I'd do today is kind of give my updated modern version of the luxury diet from this healthy-ish perspective. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at it. Some of you who are here listening, some of the initial pieces, like you're probably going to feel like just old pros at it, but like, we'll just talk about it. There are other people in the group who are listening to recordings who are more new to this work. It's always good to review some of the basics. So I just want to talk about this word luxury though, because I think this was the other, like there was two words that I was worried would cause backlash in this jokey title, right? The first was luxury. The second was the diet. So we covered the diet bit. It's not a diet. That's just like a tongue-in-cheek, silly way to talk about the fact that we can use intuition and activation and fun to help us find a way of eating that feels good in our body, right? Now, the luxury word I wanted to dive into because, you know, just the definitions here, these are the definitions of luxury. A condition of abundance or great ease and comfort. Something adding pleasure or comfort that's not absolutely necessary. Or an indulgence in something that provides pleasure, satisfaction, or ease. The surprising detail in all of this is that the word money is never mentioned. So when I was thinking about why I thought the word luxury would cause backlash, I think that it's because in many ways, I think of like opulence and abundance and richness. And I think that those things are sometimes part of luxury. But I was reading a newsletter the other day talking about luxury, and they suggested, a friend had suggested to them that luxury was just about space. Like things that are luxurious, like think first class on an airplane, space, the lobby of a beautiful hotel, space, designer stores, everything's spaced out, things aren't crammed in. We can also think about it in terms of space in our schedule, space to make the food decisions that we want to make, space to move our bodies or care for ourselves. So I really want us to think about luxury as, you know, occasionally those, you know, opulent things, but even more so, I want us thinking about pleasure and comfort and satisfaction and ease and all of those things that we tend to demonize when it comes to taking care of ourselves that feel very frivolous or floofy or not dependable, right? We tend to think of those things as they're going to lead us down the garden trail off into, you know, overindulgence land. But I want to suggest in this season that we really lean into the opulence and the indulgence of the season, and that we're quite careful and intentional to try to infuse the season with a little more ease and space. And that's what's going to feel luxurious. So the luxury diet is, you know, technically the way that I had advertised it in the past was a decidedly non-diet approach to eating well, recharging your metabolism, and loving your body today. I don't usually use the words recharging your metabolism anymore, but I will say that when I feel activated, I do feel like my body is operating differently. I feel like I'm tapped into a well of energy that I can sometimes find difficult to access, that allows me to just motor through sometimes an extra hectic schedule or a really long to-do list. And so I think that there is something about just infusing our day-to-day, but also this season, particularly with fun and levity, that does actually charge up our metabolism. And I don't mean that in terms of calorie burning. I mean it in terms of our metabolism is all of the chemical reactions that make up our body. And we can really supercharge those and find a well of energy that is difficult to access, you know, that we tend to rely on. We think food is supposed to provide it for us. Supplements are going to provide it for us, when in reality, it's us finding a way to fill it up by the day-to-day experience that we're in that really taps us into that unending well of energy so that we don't get burned out. So the big three questions before we dive into the seven tenets of the luxury diet, the big three questions, and if you have a little notebook or, you know, your phone notes app, you can jot some stuff down. Just taking a minute to think about the big three here. How do you want to feel this holiday season? What are 3 to 5 words that describe how you most want to feel? And the only caveat to these feeling words is that they should not be dependent on other people. Specifically going into the holiday season, it shouldn't be, you know, I want to feel respected. We can't control if the people around us respect us, but we could, you know, you could say, I want to feel respectful, or I want to feel, you know, you wouldn't say loved, because sometimes our family members and our partners and our children fail to make us feel loved, right? But you could say, I want to feel loving, or I want to feel connected. So the only caveat to these feeling words is we want them to be within your power to cultivate. What are your top 3 priorities? And this is an interesting question all the time, but I think especially going into the holiday season, like, is it to win the gift-giving game over your sister-in-law? Is that the number one priority? Is it to kill yourself making magical moments to the point where you don't even get to spend time with your children because you're so busy crafting the magical moment? You know, like, what really are your top three priorities? Will you get pulled away from them? Probably. But at least we can get clear on what our top three priorities are. Or if that feels too difficult, if that feels too vague and hard, you could also think about the top three experiences that you want to have. So maybe it's just a really cozy, quiet Christmas morning with your immediate family, or maybe it's an afternoon out ice skating without your phone. Or maybe it's, you know, going to a really fancy dinner where you actually get to get dressed up for the first time in 3 years because of COVID. I'm not sure. So priorities are experiences. And then again, coming back to this idea of luxury, I just really want you thinking about what provides you with a feeling of space or spaciousness in your life. So the seven tenets of the luxury diet and how to apply them this holiday season. So the first one is something that is old hat to many of you who are here live, but is always difficult. We accept and respect our body as it exists right now. And then I put enough said, because I know we've talked about this so many times, but I think it bears repeating. Like, it's never a good time to start thinking that we can micromanage our body to be, you know, so much smaller than it currently is. But particularly through the holidays, like, this is just a bad idea. And so many people go into the holidays trying to either lose weight or they're terrified of gaining any weight. And every decision that they make is around this fear and anxiety about their body. And I think that those of us who are here know that when we make decisions from that place, we're essentially making decisions from a place of restriction. And anytime we make decisions from a place of restriction, anytime we are in a state of restriction, we are setting up the reaction to restriction, which is binging. So no matter how much you are struggling with your body, no matter how hard it feels, the absolute best thing that you can do is take a break from hating on your body. Even if you can only say, for the next 4 to 6 weeks, I'm going to take a break from hating on my body, and I'm going to do everything that I can to enjoy her, to dress her, to have fun with her, to accept her and respect her in this moment. This is the holidays. And every moment that I spend obsessing about my body are moments that I'm not in my life, that I'm not with my sister or my dog or my kids or my partner connecting and having fun. Number two, we honor our body's cues. And this is building on one, because when we get into, or when we are operating from restriction, there's a few things that are true. And the first I already mentioned, which is that as soon as we're in restriction, we are setting up the pendulum to swing the other direction, right? We're infusing, we're like putting energy into the system. We're pulling the pendulum up to one side. So the moment we let it go, it's going to swing to the other. And when I say the moment we let it go, I mean 1.5 glasses of wine into that party by the buffet table. You spend the rest of the night just eating instead of talking to anybody. You don't even remember who was there, right? You don't eat all day. And then you show up to the party and you're like, I'll just have a little. And then one glass of wine in, and it's, you let go of the pendulum and it's all the way the other way, right? We don't want to be coming from a place of restriction. We want to be respecting our bodies. We're not trying to control our bodies. We're going to nourish ourselves regularly. This is part of honoring our body's cues. No matter what's going on in the evening, no matter how many parties there are to go to, we are not operating from a place of restriction. We're going to nourish ourselves consistently and regularly. We're going to attempt to tune into hunger and full regardless of what we're eating. This is the other thing, right? So when we're operating from a place of restriction, sorry, I lost my train of thought there, we will set ourselves up for the overindulgence, the reactivity, the rebellion, the binge eating, but we also tend to shut down our body's cues. When we're operating from control and manipulation and restriction, we stop tuning into whether we're hungry or not, right? I don't care if I'm hungry today. Today's Friday. There's a party tonight. I'm going to override that hunger all through the day so that I can enjoy the buffet at night. How does that play out in reality? We're hungry all day. We get to the party. We have a glass of wine or a glass of Prosecco or whatever. We lose control and we don't even get to enjoy the party because we're just face down in the buffet and we feel terrible the next day. Absolutely terrible. We haven't had the connection. Going back to those feeling words, how you want to feel, you likely haven't shown up the way you want to show up. You haven't been able to focus on your priorities. All you can think about in that moment is food. Right? And then it just sets up that system because then the next day you're feeling bad and you immediately want to go back into the restrictive thinking. So we're not going to do that. We're going to respect and accept our bodies. We are not going to make decisions from a place of restriction. We're going to stay tuned into our body's cues. We do that by feeding ourselves regularly, by tuning into hunger and full, even if it's imperfect, because there are some really delicious meals and there are some foods that we're going to overeat, but we're at least tuning in. We're not going unconscious. We're not totally tapped out because we're in a reactive pattern. Asking yourself, what do I really want right now? Do I want to eat something that's deeply nutrient dense? Because that will come up, right? It will come up through the season. Or do I want something deeply nostalgic? What do I really feel like? What's pulling me? So we honor our body's cues. The third thing, we connect to our desires and our need for pleasure every day. Every day, there are desires and there are needs for pleasure. I heard something recently, I'm just remembering this, that in every complaint, there is a desire. At the root of every complaint you have, there is a desire. What's the desire? If the complaint is, I can't take another day with my mother-in-law in this house, what's the desire? If the complaint is, Christmas cookies are ruining my life, what's the desire? In every complaint, there's a desire, and we need to spend time. There are things that are going to take a back seat through the holiday season. And part of the luxury diet is acknowledging that there are some things that are going to take a back seat and other things that require our attention if we're going to get through this in a way that feels good. And so this is one of the things that requires our attention. Tapping into pleasure and desire and allowing them to be the roadmap to well-being through this season. Trying to focus on kale and apples and going to bed early is not going to be the roadmap to wellness through the holiday season. It's not. We're in a period of indulgence and luxury. So let's tap into pleasure and desire instead. And so you can ask yourselves, you can make a practice of asking yourself every morning, what am I wanting and needing most today? What would make today feel more spacious or more easeful or a little bit more magical, a little bit more beautiful? You can also ask yourself kind of the flip side of this, is there anything, you know, what's not working, and see what comes to mind. What's not working? What's not working? And inside those complaints, we can find our desires. So on a daily basis, part of the luxury diet, part of feeling activated is taking the time to not only tune into our physical body's cues of hunger and fullness, but also our needs for rest and space and connection and a little magic. And we can revisit. If this is difficult, you can always just revisit those feeling words that you came up with and the priorities that you have when you feel stuck. So this becomes center stage. We stop, if you were even doing it, I think many of the people here have gotten away from trying to micromanage food, But like, if there's still a little bit of that tendency to want to focus on food or movement to fix everything when life feels hectic or a little too indulgent or a little too big or a little too wild or out of control, this is where we want to focus instead. Because trying to eat some puritanical, pristine diet through the holiday season is restrictive thinking. It's going to set you up to fail. So instead, let's focus on this. Let's put our time and energy into connecting with pleasure and desire. Tenet number four, we allow luxury to come in many forms. Going back to that definition of luxury, it's not all about spending lots of money. It could be a little bit of that if that's part of your love language. You know, for some people, love language really is, I'm a bit of a, I can't remember what all of my love languages are, but gift giving is actually one of my love languages. So I really enjoy it. I've taken the time, I've written about this in a newsletter recently about taking the time to actually, in the past few years, I make a really clear budget. I note every single thing that I spend because I do, in the past I would do things where like I'd note down some of the expenses, but not all of the expenses. And I could kind of trick myself into thinking that I'd spent half of what I really did. But I'm really frank with it now, you know? So I'm aware of where I'm spending money. I'm not doing it just, you know, totally haphazardly, but that is part of my love language. And I own that, but luxury can be chocolate shortbread. This is the other thing I'll say is that luxury and indulgence are in this all or nothing kind of black or white binary world. Luxury and indulgence, we also tend to associate it always with foods that are less nutrient dense. And again, I just want to suggest it could be chocolate shortbread. It could be a green smoothie. Luxury could be a gorgeous dress. It could be butter soft yoga pants. It could be dinner at a fancy restaurant, or it could be a night in where you have a bath and Epsom salts and essential oils. It could be the most gorgeous high ticket gift, or it could be a simple handmade DIY gift filled with thought and intention. It could be a party. It could be staying at home to watch a movie. Like, we get to decide what is luxurious to us. For many years in my feeling words, I always had, just for my life, not even for the holidays, but I had simple luxury. I felt like I needed to qualify luxury, right? By saying it could only be simple. But the reality is the simple luxuries are luxuries to me, which is just like a beeswax candle, a really good cup of tea. Like, those are the things that feel luxurious, and the space to have them, the space to light the candles before the dinner and eat together, the space to sleep in a little bit in the morning, the space to not be rushing around to activities through the holiday season. Like, these are things that feel luxurious to me. And so I've decided that I'm going to stop qualifying them and just sort of say, I love having some luxury in my life, and it can be all of these things. And none of these things, like, we get to decide what luxury feels like, but let's allow it to come into our lives in many forms and appreciate it. We can really, really, really appreciate. One of the things that my parents used to do for us as kids that we do for our kids now, is they would always tuck a really big, delicious red apple in the toe of our stockings, and a huge orange and a big red, delicious apple. And like, that to me feels luxurious. A bit of chocolate and a big red delicious apple. Like, we get to decide what those things are and what they bring into our lives and what they activate inside of us. Five, we commit to putting in the minimum effective dose when it comes to self-care. I did a podcast about this recently that you can find. I've talked about this in many of the programs that I've done. I've written newsletters about it. Like, I want you to think about, you're not going to have probably the time and energy to do any kind of complicated healthcare regimes through the holiday season. So think about, what's your minimum effective dose? Like, even when I spend Christmas on PEI, the island off the coast of Canada, and we're snowed in for 3 days and there's nowhere to go, like, what are the things that I still absolutely need? You know, my parents are serving up Bailey's and like Christmas cookies for breakfast. Like, even when that's the situation, like, what are the things that I need? What's my minimum effective dose for like trying to keep my body feeling somewhat on par. And for me, it's movement. No matter where I am, I can get out for a walk, or I can do a yoga class in the basement, a tiny bit of alone time. And so, you know, in that specific situation that I was talking about, I would go to bed about an hour earlier than I actually needed to go to bed. And even though there were some things, there were still some people hanging out, there were some people having fun, there was some, you know, but I would just be like, I got to go to bed. And then I would stay up for another hour and I would just journal or read or scroll Instagram sometimes or watch a show. Like, I just needed to carve out alone time. Sometimes it looks like going in for a bath in the middle of the evening when things are like, everybody's playing cards and having fun and there's a million people around, and I just peace out for an hour and come back, you know? So it's movement. It's a tiny bit of alone time. And I'm going to tell you, I can't prescribe to anyone, but you can know educationally that St. Francis Deep Immune has been saving my life. Like, if you are looking for something that is good for your immune system, if you're about to spend lots of time around a lot of people, if you don't have allergies, you know, you should always check, you know, with your naturopath or your medical doctor. But St. Francis Deep Immune is an herbal combo that I basically like live on for 2 months. My kids have cycled through, I think, 5 colds in the past month, 2 months, 3 months, like just every time that constantly just cycling through. And I felt on the verge of it, and it's just like saving my life. So what is it for you? What are your non-negotiables? Is it just an early bedtime? So like, you can eat all the food and have all the fun, and you can even go to the parties, but every other night of the week, you need to be in bed really early. Is that it for you? Is it some supplements? Is it meditation? Is it fresh air? Reading every day, a nightly bath where you like cleanse the energy of the day off of you. That's another thing that actually I didn't mention, but even if I get home really late, I sometimes will hop into the bath for 20 minutes because it just helps me like get back on track and sleep better. Is it a green drink every day? Like, maybe you're not, you know, not coming from a place of restriction, but maybe you're like, I'm eating all the foods, I'm having all the fun, and it really just makes me feel good to get that one green smoothie in every single day. I know I'm like hitting a minimum dose of nutrients, and then I can just move on with everything else that I'm eating. 6, we remember that we are cyclical beings. So this is important for those moments when you want to start to spiral. I was just listening to a podcast about, I can't remember what it was about, manifestation or something, but the woman talking was talking about like when we start to get into those loops where we're like on a loop about something, like I'm eating badly, I'm eating terribly, I'm eating. And it was like, you want to talk to your girlfriend about your loop, and you want to talk to your partner about your loop, and you want to talk to the kids about the loop, and you want to talk to your mother-in-law about the loop, and you're like looping, looping, looping. And she's like, she calls it like, slow down, sister. That's her, like, you know, when we get into these loops of like, I'm stuck in this place and I'm going to eat sugar cookies every night for the rest of my life. Like, just nothing lasts forever. We're cyclical beings. You are not stuck. Your needs are going to change. You are going to change. The seasons are going to change. And in a week or two, it'll be January and everything will be different. Everything will feel different. So this is particularly important for those moments when we want to spiral out and trick ourselves into believing that if we sink into indulgence for a few weeks, if we sink into the luxury of the season, if we let go a little bit of hyperfixating on our physical bodies, that we're never going to come back. We'll never return. In the Juicy Body Blueprint, remember that health is like a Venn diagram, right? Where there's these three circles. There's physical, and there's mental, emotional, and there's social. And they sort of all overlap. And our magical formula for health exists somewhere in the middle. But those circles aren't exactly equal at all times. That's like a myth of balance, that we could perfectly balance our mental, emotional needs and our physical needs and our social needs at all times. It's about remembering that in this season, the social bubble is going to be a bit larger. And the physical bubble may need to get smaller because of it. but it won't stay that way forever. Come January, you're going to feel the push, the impulse to shift those bubbles back ever so slightly. We tend to feel a little less social in January. We tend to feel like we want to hibernate a little. We're a little less social. We're out a little bit less. And then we have the time and the space to focus on our physical bodies in a different way, not a restrictive way, but in a different way. So just remembering one of the tenets of this is that this is for a short period of time, and we're cyclical beings, and we can trust ourselves and we can trust our bodies, and it will lead us back. And if we don't F up the cycles by interfering with them, with restriction and rigidity and those spirals and the looping, our bodies will naturally ebb and flow. And we can find ways to be proactive and intentional. And for me, just approaching the season from this perspective and really intentionally sinking into it is actually part of that. And it will feed when we intentionally sink into this season. It genuinely feeds the return. It makes our bodies want to return to focus on the physical again come January. And the last thing is that we try to have fun no matter what. We try to infuse fun and humor and a little bit of levity into the season. I always feel like it's a bit of a red flag or a barometer for me. Like if I get to the point, I did it on Sunday with my kids. Our weekend was so jam-packed that I just started losing it on Sunday night, and I'm getting mad at them and I'm getting angry and they're exhausted and I'm trying to push them to get stuff done. And then the little one's crying and I'm like, whoa, okay. The fun is gone here. You know, it's gone. And there are some things that are going to be hard for sure. There are some things that are difficult or challenging. We definitely have some really tough family dynamics in some places. But I think making things fun is key. So even going into a really tough family dynamic, like I'll frame it as this is a really interesting experiment in boundary setting, or this is a really fun experiment in, you know, learning how to manage my own triggers and get out of situations that don't feel comfortable. How can we see the humor in it? How can we see that one aunt who always makes a comment about your body and just be like, there she goes, you know, it's not about me, it's about her. Making place for play and silliness and letting the seriousness of the season and the people fall away, and genuinely knowing that, like, we cannot control what other people are doing or saying. We can only control our experience in any situation. And I personally am not perfect at it, but I try very hard to have fun in all the situations. And if someone's being a bit of an a-hole, I make a, you know, my husband and I have a funny little look that we give each other and a little tiny, almost imperceptible eye roll. And then we giggle about it later, you know, like, yeah, well, oh, classic. It only took 17 minutes and 18 seconds for like that to happen this holiday, you know? It might seem frivolous, but infusing every situation with a dose of fun literally changes the game. When you can't find the fun, we need to take time to return to feeling words and priorities. So this is about knowing that we can define and create a healthy, glowing, radiant body for ourselves on our terms. Like, we can rewrite the story. This holiday season does not need to be a major blip in your overall year-long taking care of yourself goals and plans and intentions. It could be part of it. It should be part of it. I love the idea of it being part of it. We can rewrite that story. We don't have to be like, oh God, here come the holidays. 5 or 6 years ago, I read this article from Mark's Daily Apple about eating on the holidays. And I swear to God, every single tip was about not eating. Don't eat, don't snack, don't eat sugar, don't eat in between meals, don't eat this at meals, don't. I was like basically the summary of this article is don't eat. And I think that it perfectly encapsulates so much of the approach to this season, which is fear-based and restriction-based and it makes us feel anxious and we want to shut down and we start engaging in tactics that set us up for failure. And I just feel like this is about rewriting that story and about being like, this is a season that can really nourish me and fill me up in a lot of ways. It's a marking of time. It's a way to celebrate the end of another turn around the sun. You know, like, it's like, how can we see this differently? How can we see it as a rite of passage as we move into a new year? And it's a celebration of all we've endured and all we've accomplished and all the things that have fallen away or fallen apart as we prepare to rebuild. It's about knowing that we can sink into pleasure and fun and let it lead the way. And it's not going to lead us astray, that we can indulge and be healthy. We can do both of those things at the same time. And that we can trust our bodies through this phase and trust it to lead us into the next phase, which is what I was just talking about in the cyclical being, on the cyclical being slide. So we have a couple of minutes. I'm just going to stop my share. And I know that there was... I see the chat now. Okay. If there's any questions, is this bringing up anything for anyone? Does anybody want to?